Our gospel reading for this morning is going to come out of the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the first chapter of John's Gospel, verses 43 through 51. It's found on page 923 of your pew Bibles, so let us listen to God's word for us. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Our Old Testament reading will come from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of Samuel, 1 Samuel, and reading verses 1 through 20, which is found on page 236 of your pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down within the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lie down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lie down in his place. And the Lord came and stood forth calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a new thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone that hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I tell him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is what you would call a call narrative. It is a story of God calling someone to respond to what God is doing in the world, or what God desires to do in the world. It's interesting that whenever the Lord wants to act, whenever the Lord wants to do something, he never does it by himself, but he always calls someone. He calls men and women to do the work that God desires to do in the world. Many of us are familiar with the adage that if you want something done right, do it yourself. But that's not the way that the Lord operates. Whenever the Lord wants to do something, he always invites other people to participate in what the Lord is doing. And so he calls people. And often the Lord calls the most unlikeliest of people. The Lord often calls people that you and I might not necessarily call. Sometimes the Lord calls people like Abraham and Sarah, two people up in age, to be the ones who will birth God's future into the world. You and I might say, "Wait a minute, Lord, maybe Abraham and Sarah is just a little too old for this right here. Maybe this is to be their golden years." But no, the Lord calls Abraham and Sarah. Sometimes God chooses people like Mary, the mother of Jesus, that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, a poor teenage girl from an out-of-the-way manure hole like Nazareth. And again, you and I might say, "Wait a minute, Lord, are you sure this is the kind of person you want to call? Maybe she's not qualified or experienced enough to be of service right now." But this is the kind of person that God calls. And God calls people like this because God's ways are not our ways. God is not concerned with the kinds of things that we are concerned with. God is not concerned about qualifications. God is not concerned about experience. God is not concerned with credentials. He's not concerned about seminary degrees or anything like that. God's major concern is with whether or not you are willing to hear, with whether or not you are willing to listen, with whether or not you're willing to be obedient to the word of the Lord. That's what God is often concerned about. I think that's the reason that the Lord called Samuel in our Old Testament reading this morning. The prophet Samuel is a pivotal figure in the life of Israel. He is one of Israel's greatest prophets. He is the prophet that stands at the intersection between the old Israel that was ruled by charismatic judges and the Israel that would go forward under the leadership of the monarchy. Samuel himself would ordain two kings, King Saul, who turned out to be less than desirable in the eyes of the Lord, and of course the mighty and beloved King David, Israel's greatest king. But not even King David has a book named after him in the Bible, but Samuel has two books named after him. So revered is he in the memory of Israel. But this morning, Samuel is just a boy, a servant boy in the priestly house of Eli. You'll remember Samuel's mother, Hannah, who was barren. She prayed that the Lord would hear her and give her a child. And the Lord gave her a child. And she promised that if the Lord did that, that she would turn the child over to the priestly house. And she did that. And so Samuel has been a servant boy in the priestly house of Eli. But the text tells us that he does not yet know the Lord. And the text also indicates that darkness has settled over God's people. We are told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days and that visions had ceased. And I take that to mean that people had simply stopped listening to God. They just stopped listening to God's word. Everyone was doing what seemed right in their own eyes. We were told that at the end of the book of Judges. Doing their own thing and failing to listen to God. It's easy to do. There are many voices calling out to us in our world, loud voices, angry voices, partisan voices, prejudiced voices, seductive voices, all kinds of voices, so that it becomes easy to tune out the one voice that really matters, the voice of life itself, the voice of God. And when people stop listening to God, then God simply does what we all do whenever people stop listening to us. God simply stopped talking. God stopped wasting God's precious words. And so we are told that the word of the Lord was rare. It's not because there was a lack of spiritual leadership. There was Eli the priest, but we are told that Eli is going blind, which I take as a statement not just of his physical vision, but even more importantly of his spiritual vision. Maybe he had settled into a rut. Maybe he just started accepting things as they were. Easy for us preachers to do. Just make everyone happy. Don't stir the pot. It's easier that way. Less dangerous that way. But for whatever reason, he is beginning to lose his spiritual discernment and his spiritual vision. Then, of course, there was his sons. They used their position to enrich themselves and prey upon the women who came to the temple. Maybe that sounds familiar to you. But the times are dark, dark, dark times have settled over Israel. But the text tells us that the lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out. Even though the word of God is rare, even though there are no visions, the lamp of the Lord has not yet gone out. It's flickering, but it's not yet gone out. Have you ever seen when the lamp of the Lord goes out? Have you ever seen when the lamp goes out in a person? When the lamp goes out in a community, when the lamp of the Lord goes out in a whole nation, there's no love, there's no compassion, there's no justice, no decency, just meanness and divisiveness and crudeness and vulgarity, injustice and violence. I was talking to someone not long ago about the country of Rwanda. They were from a country near that, and they were telling me what happened when the lamp went out in that particular country, divided into various tribal factions, Hutus and Tutsis, and how it precipitated a crisis of murder and violence and divisiveness. A Christian country where most of the people identified themselves as Christians, but the lamp went out. And people took advantage of that and created a nation of divisiveness and murder and crudeness and injustice. I'll leave it to you this morning to determine the state of our own lamp. But we are told this morning that the lamp of Israel has not yet gone out. Thank goodness for that. The lamp has not yet gone out because there is someone in Israel who will listen, someone who can hear, someone who is willing to do the work of the Lord. But it's a small boy whose name is Samuel. And it's there in the darkness, in the midst of the temple, that the voice of the Lord calls out to the boy, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. But Samuel does not yet know the Lord. He does not yet know that it is the Lord that is calling him, which seems remarkable because Samuel has grown up in the house of the Lord, but the word of the Lord has not yet been revealed to him. And so he needs the old priest, Eli, to help him identify and respond to God's voice. Even though Eli is flawed, even though Eli has failed the Lord in important ways, he is still needed to help young Samuel discern God's voice. And so he tells the boy, it is not me. It is not me who is calling you. It is not the church who is calling you. It is not the nominating committee that is calling you. But this is the Lord. This is the maker of heaven and earth. This is the one who has the whole world in his hands. It is the Lord who is calling you. And so respond to the Lord. The next time you hear the Lord calling you, just respond. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And that's what the Lord is looking for, someone who will hear, someone who will listen, someone who will say, here I am, Lord, your servant hears. I remember when I was a kid going through Sunday school wondering what it must have been like to hear God speaking in the middle of the night. Wouldn't that be scary? Wouldn't that be fearful to hear God calling your name in the middle of the night? Wouldn't it be fearful to hear God calling your name anytime? What would it sound like? Tomorrow we'll be celebrating the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., another great prophet of God. And I was reading something about him this week, and one story jumped out at me, the story of his own dark night when he heard the Lord speaking to him. When he heard the Lord calling his name, it was during the Montgomery bus boycott in 1956, and he began to receive death threats. People calling, saying that they were going to blow his brains out and kill his family. And he admitted that he was afraid. For the first time, he was literally scared. Didn't know what he was going to do, felt about that he was going to call off the whole campaign, or at least his participation of it. That wasn't what he had signed up for. He just wanted to be a good preacher of a nice Baptist church somewhere. And now all of a sudden he had people calling in, calling death threats. And he began to pray, and then he heard God's voice. God's voice saying, Martin, I am with you. Fight for justice. I am with you. And when he heard that voice, he was comforted and strengthened to continue the difficult work that God had called him to do. And that's with all of us, as we go about our task, doing what God is calling us to do as servants, to know that God is with us, that it's not easy, but God is with us. It's interesting that God calls Samuel in the temple. I suppose the Lord could have called him anywhere. The Lord could have called him while he was fishing. The Lord could have called him while he was walking in the woods. But the Lord calls him in the temple, in the place where people worship, where the community gathers to worship. I hear people say from time to time, I don't need to go to church to hear God's voice. I don't need to go to church to commune with God. I can do it in nature. I can do it in my everyday life. And then they begin to enumerate all the problems they have with the church. And there's something true about that. But it's here in this place. It's here where the community comes to worship, where we come to hear God's voice, to discern God's voice, to hear God speaking to us, to discern God's voice from all those other voices out there in our culture, to learn to hear and distinguish God's voice, and to give ourselves to God's work. Here I am, Lord. Here we are. Speak to us, because your servants are listening. This morning, we, of course, installed our latest class of officers, and we give God thanks for all of those who have heard God called them to serve as the newest class of officers. It's not easy being an elder, making difficult decisions for the church. The life of the church isn't easy. Those of you who serve as deacons know that it's not easy. Sometimes the need is so great, the resources are few, it's not always easy. And of course, being a trustee, people responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of a building like this, a great big building, it's not easy. And a lot of times I realize that many of you who serve go about your task and maybe you don't feel appreciated. But I want you to know that I appreciate you, because I know how difficult and hard it can be. I remember at my last church, I used to have to get up during winters at 3 o'clock in the morning, early Sunday morning, to run down to the church to make sure that the boiler was on. The boiler had a tendency of clicking off, and it had to be on at least 6 hours for the sanctuary to be warm, you know, at 11 o'clock hour. And it seemed that the boiler always would click off, and I'd always have to get up early in the morning just to run down to make sure it was on. And that fell on me. So I appreciate all of the things that people do here in this church to make sure that things work wonderfully. But it's not easy. But the Lord never promises that things will run smoothly. The Lord never promises things will be easy. The very first thing that the Lord tells young Samuel to do after God has called Samuel is to speak a word of judgment on the house of Eli. How would you like to do that? To speak a word of judgment on the person who has raised you, on the person who has mentored you, on the person who has taken you under his wing, to speak a word of judgment. It's never easy. But we give God thanks that God has promised that he will be with us, just as God promised Martin Luther King on that dark night long, long ago. We give thanks for our leaders, for our officers. But we're reminded this morning that God has not just called them, but God has called all of us. God is calling all of us. God is calling all of you. God calls, because God never does anything by God's self, but God is constantly calling people. And maybe you're saying this morning to yourself, well, I can't do any of that. I can't be a Samuel. I can't be a Martin Luther King Jr. I can't be an elder. I can't be a deacon. I can't be a trustee. I can't do any of those kinds of things. Well, first of all, you don't know what you can do. You don't know what you can be. The Bible is filled with people who thought they couldn't do something. Moses didn't think he would be able to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Jeremiah didn't think that he would be able to be a prophet, and yet God called them. You never know what you can do until you respond to God's call. God supplies what we need. But God also reminds us that there are things that we all can do. And maybe God is calling you to do something in the life of this community. Maybe God is calling you to work with children. Maybe God is calling you to work with elderly people in the midst of this community. There's a great need to serve elderly people in this community. Maybe God is calling you to work with homeless people. There's a great need for doing work with homeless people in our city, a forgotten population. Maybe God is calling you to do that. God is calling your name. God is calling you. I would like for this to be a place that we can come to hear God calling us, to hear God calling us to serve, not to get caught up in the rut, not to accept things as they are, but to listen to God's voice, to listen for God's direction, to discern God's heart and where God might be leading us to serve Him. The word of the Lord is still rare in our world. And you know the kind of visions that are out there. Not holy visions or loving visions or compassionate visions. But we come here to hear God's word and to be mindful of God's vision. God's vision of the coming kingdom of God. And that's what you and I are called to proclaim. And to proclaim that not just in word, but to proclaim it by how we live our lives. God is calling you. Because when God does something, He never does it alone. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your loving spirit in the midst of us. We give you thanks for reminding us that we belong to you and for reminding us that you call all of us. We do not call ourselves, but it is you who are calling us to be your people and to do your work in the midst of our world. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.